Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you. And we're going to continue today with the Faction Election War 1. This is number 28. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for these revelations you're giving to us. I know they're comforting the people that are reading them, and that the Lord hasn't left them to the beast at this particular time. Thank you, Lord God, for the courage, and thank you for the saints out there that are praying and standing in the way of the deep state with their prayers and commands and so on, so that this progress will be made. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. First, we're going to talk about Trump and tribulation. Andrew Galinas sent this. He got it on January the 7th, 2021. And he said this. I think it was 1-7-21 that I woke up at around 4 in the morning for no apparent reason. And as I lay there trying to get myself to fall back to sleep, because I was now wide awake, out of nowhere, I heard the very distinct bark of an aquatic seal, as clear as if it were right there in the room. It reverberated as if it was coming from a wide open and endless space like heaven. I noted in my mind right away that the duration of the seal's bark sounded as if it had been broken in half or cut short. Well, I just got a confirmation while typing this up. A man on a podcast just said the words, "This breaks the seal." I don't know why it didn't occur to me right away, but it wasn't until later that morning that I remembered what happened, and I instantly understood it to represent the first seal of Revelation being broken. And the rider on the white horse, as in the man-child. Okay, well, we know that Jesus breaks the first seal that brings the white horse rider judgment. He is, this white horse rider is Jesus by word and spirit in the man-child body, as we will see. Revelation 6, 1 and 2 says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, Come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown. And he came forth conquering and to conquer." All right, he is crowned. Let me say this. If you look at them very closely, you'll see that all of the horses in the seals represent bodies of peoples who are directed by their riders, who are spirits. Like death, the spirit of death rides a horse, you know, on and on. So, the spirit of Jesus will direct the man-child body to bring the word that causes both blessing and judgment. Now that's the white horse rider. The spirit of Jesus and the fleshly body that is white, sanctified, in other words, going forth to bring judgment. Now, if you don't like this interpretation, all you got to do is look through the rest of the Bible and you'll see the exact same thing mentioned many times. Although the white horse rider is somewhat hidden, like Moses was. You know, it's still, you can see the parallel, and they bring forth judgments, you see. So, I know there's a big argument out there. Is this Jesus is coming? Well, no, not in the flesh. It is not. Or is it the Antichrist? No. All of the other seals were serious seals. It was not a deception. People say it's white because he's coming as a deceiver. No, they were serious seals. Every one of them actually pointed out what was happening and even identified the spirit on the back, right? So, this is a revelation given to Timothy Dixon. And we shared it before, but I just thought it would really be good to share it again. He got this on 2/20/21. I saw a piece in a dream. I want to share this little piece of why I mentioned July the 4th. I saw something happen July the 4th. That was just crazy. I saw an Independence Day being rejoiced all over the world. Well, it's probably a worldwide Independence Day. This day, to us, of course, means freedom from the British overlords. But that's a very good type of freedom from the deep state criminal overlords, which, by the way, are worldwide. So, yes, this Independence Day could very well represent, well, no matter what day it comes on, but it could very well represent, even on that physical day, freedom, a winning of the battle, so to speak. I am not saying there won't be guerrilla warfare for a while. I'm saying that it will be recognized that they have been beaten. Okay. And Timothy goes on to say, hallelujah. I saw a rejoicing. And what could that mean? I'm still praying on that one. But there's a little bit that's just fresh off the Holy Ghost. I saw the 4th of July. But then I looked down in this dream and I saw a horse starting to ride. I saw a white horse, and it was coming. Not that it had arrived, but it was coming. And he was looking past July the 4th. Sometimes in dreams and revelations, it can be more or less past, because it doesn't specifically say. He doesn't say how long after the 4th of July the white horse comes, but it appears to be close. The white horse rider that he saw coming begins the tribulation in Revelation 6, 1 and 2, as we just read. It could even be the Feast of Trumpets. Now, that's a little further down the road, not far, 9/21/2021. So, it could be closer than that. I'm not trying to tie it down to that, but it could be. A Feast of Trumpets is a real good symbol. Sometimes happenings don't happen on the symbols, okay? And so you can't really count on that, but it could too happen. So it could be the Feast of Trumpets, the first trump of the tribulation. Trumpets begin the evening of 9/21/2021. And is 7 days, representing Daniel's 70th week of the tribulation. Because in Daniel's revelation, each of the days was a week. And it was a week of years. So, so then you can consider this year being started by the trumpet. Okay, so the tribulation could happen between those times, stretched out to be 7 years, right? And that's a good point to, you can see that in Ezekiel 45 and 25, talking about the 7 days. Does this mean that the man-child will not come until the tribulation? No. We have been shown and spoken it before that the man-child comes just before the tribulation. But the white horse rider ministry begins the tribulation. In other words, the Lord is taking charge of the man-child ministry and starting it for the tribulation. But as a type of this, you might notice that Jesus, who was a type of the man-child, was anointed before he began his ministry. Okay, so we can take that as a type and a shadow. Back to Tim. He said, God have mercy. It was moving across the world, and I saw it like a flame. Well, flames cause destruction, and they represent purity, because after they go through, there is a purity, right? A purifying. It made a loop all the way around the world a couple of times, and it crossed, and it went back the other way and started just circling until it had just crisscrossed the whole globe. Well, this is a global happening, this white horse rider. He went on to say, a man was riding him, and he had a Bible in his hand. Well, let me say that the judgments and revival of the Spirit of Jesus riding the man-child white horse all over the world is what this represents. He had the leather casing, and he was holding it up. And as he began to ride, the pages began to blow out everywhere. And people were picking up the pages and reading them. It was the Word of God. It was the Gospel. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Tim says. Well, what did this word going forth from the white horse rider represent to mankind? Well, we can see it in the type of Moses, the man-child reformer, when he brought the word to the people. Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. The blessing, if you shall hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And the curse, if you shall not hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which you have not known. So it's a blessing if you obey the word. It's a curse if you don't obey the word. Very simple. The word makes people responsible. Okay, so this going forth of the word from the man-child ministry is going to make people responsible. Jesus said, if I had not spoken unto you, you would not have sinned. Meaning, of course, that his words made them responsible. And so it will be in these days, exactly that way. Because the anointing will be perfect on the man-child. I just asked about the anointing of the man-child, if it would run in some way parallel to Trump becoming president of the new republic. Since Daniel was promoted over Babylon when Cyrus was coming in the door the same day to overthrow them. And I got Jehu, the man-child reformer, cutting off the house of the evil Ahab. And, of course, the factious apostates. 2 Chronicles 22, 7 and 8. Pretty good answer. Now, the destruction of Ahaziah was of God, in that he went unto Joram, for when he was come, he went out with Jehoram, against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. Ooh, that's the wrong person to go picking on right there. So there's the anointing that I was asking about, even. And it was given to a major reformer, Jehu. Right? And it came to pass when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab. You can see there, part of the man-child's ministry right there. Okay. That he found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah ministering to Ahaziah, and he slew them. So he got those apostates too. All right. Timothy said, God is true. God will not be mocked. God is going to do this. The power of God's going to stand up and show people that God is God. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to get down by your bed, or if you're riding in your automobile, I'm asking you to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Ask him, lead me, Lord, into this fold. Lead me into this last harvest call. Lead me. Oh, that's very good advice, Timothy. Amen. I pray people will take it. Some people don't really have a relationship. They acknowledge Jesus, and they mentally give assent to Jesus, but they've never made him Lord in their life. They've never repented and decided they were going to follow him and find out exactly what he wants them to know by reading the New Testament. Right. Timothy went on to say, I want to warn you this morning, there's coming some troubled times in the middle of this revival. Well, amen. We know that. I don't want you to be frightened and have a fear. God is able to let your shoes grow on your feet as you walk around in the wilderness. Yes, that was very interesting. Their shoes didn't wear out. And of course, some were still growing, so their shoes had to grow with them. But the word wilderness here, while you walk around in the wilderness, this is shown to be the tribulation in Revelations chapter 12 and 17. It speaks of the wilderness, which is the first and second 3.5 years of the tribulation. And Timothy goes, their shoes grew on their feet. That's the kind of God that I'm talking about, showing up and establishing President Trump back inside of his place that is already his place. Now, notice he said that, and that's very true. He has never left. He just made a trip on Air Force One overseas. Biden riding around on a on a plane that was made up to look like Air Force One, but it really doesn't when you look at it. And but the president is riding on Air Force One. The generals also are taking their orders from him. And God's going to clean out, Timothy said. You know, he's going to drain the swamp. He's a lame duck president this coming time around, and he's not going to worry about getting elected, and he's not going to be worried about him being impeached either. So he's going to be very popular, especially when he releases the GCR money and all that stuff. He's going to become very popular. And when he turns the economy around like nobody else could, like he did the first time before they tried to destroy it again. Okay? And he said, that's how it's going to be, just as easy as when God wiped out all of the Egyptians all at one time. Of course, he's talking about at the Red Sea. Right? God is able, he says. Now, who would have ever thought that such a massive, great, great army would ever fall and be drowned? That's kind of crazy. Yep, that's right. A real sign, though. We've been talking about the coming of the Red Sea. Now, Timothy don't have any real connection to us. I don't know that he's ever even run across us at all, you know. But he's sure right on this, you know. And then he says, for the next 30 days, the next 30 days is going to be a time of rejoicing. We are reaching. We are stepping towards what God is doing. Yes, and it's going to be a wonderful and graceful thing for those who want to follow God. Amen. Now, let me take just a time out here to point out something. Missy asked a question of the Lord on 3/5/21. That date is not particular. I mean, it doesn't matter what that date is. By faith at random. And she asked, what will happen by March the 25th according to the 30 days of Timothy Dixon's prophetic word starting from February the 23rd? I suppose it started on that day. It seems like it started on that day. Wouldn't be a bit surprised if it didn't, or started after he started speaking it or whatever. I don't know for sure. I do know that the 28th is a Passover. Okay. So keep that in mind. And she got for an answer Nehemiah 9:24-25. So she wanted to know, what is that 30 days? What is going to happen during that 30 days, right? And it says, so the children went in and possessed the land. All right, praise the Lord. You know who's been owning the land? We've been squatters. That's the deep state and their evil satanic leadership. They kill people. They do whatever they want to do to keep possession and steal your money and rape your children and all such stupid things. So the children went in and possessed the land. And it's happening. It is happening. And thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites. Yeah, I suppose they might be a pretty good type of the Canaanites. And gavest them into their hands with their kings. Yep, they just hung one of the, I don't know if they hung him, but they executed him, one of the very top leaders. And the peoples of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they are doing with them as they would. And they took fortified cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all good things, cisterns hewed out, vineyards and oliveyards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Well, a time of abundance is coming. It's going to come so quickly. Yes. And it appears the great progress from this, that a great progress will be made in taking the land from the satanic deep state and the factious invaders and apostates, which we've been talking to you about and giving you revelations of. So that's what it looks like. And I believe it. I believe they're having great success right now. Okay, back to Timothy. We are coming to the final and closing chapter. We are coming up to the time that we're going to lift up our hands and have a march of victory. I was wondering if maybe he was doing a pun there. March of victory. Because God has chosen it to be this way. He said, it's not time, and so it ain't time. Yes, he said that. In other words, for the beast to conquer the saints, which is shown in Revelation 13:5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and there was given to him authority to continue 42 months. That's the tribulation period, the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period, Revelation 13. And verse 7, And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So this is what I believe he means by it's not time, because we've gotten that revelation before, and that's what it was about. Right? It's not time. The devil wanted to preempt everything and get a head start, but it didn't work because God is God. So, and this make war with the saints and overcome them does not necessarily mean a spiritual overcoming. It's a physical overcoming. In other words, to crucify them. According to Jesus, all must lose their life to gain their life. You understand? He said all, everyone has to do this. One has to die to self, or they must die physically. The last enemy to be overcome is death. That means you have to overcome all the first enemies to get to that point. There will be those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. They didn't die during the tribulation period. They were alive at the end. And that's because they are dead to self. They had overcome their enemies. They're dead to self. Continuing on that verse, and there was given to him authority over every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. Okay, so he's given the world over to the beast again. Why is that? Second crop. There's two harvests. The ingathering harvest at the end and the first fruits harvest at the beginning. Okay? Each harvest needs a time of crucifixion. And that, of course, separates the wheat from the tares. At the same time, it sanctifies the people. Right? Crucifixion of the old man, the old self-life. Amen? There will be a day, church, Timothy says. There will be a day, children. There will be a day, America, when you'll read in the book of Revelation and all the books of the Bible, and you'll find out that it's all coming to pass. Yes, I agree. And some people won't even know it then because they haven't read the Bible. They won't know it has begun. So the things, the covenant, the coming of the man-child, signs of the beginning of the tribulation period, they'll miss it. They missed Jesus the first time. Why wouldn't they miss him this time? Right? He didn't come the way they thought he would come. He came in a body of the Son of David. Now he's coming again in a body of a spiritual Son of David. So, they will miss him again. The apostates may miss him again. Pray for your apostate friends. And Timothy went on to say, God's going to judge some of these people. The last thing that God ever wants is to do is this, okay, to people. He gives you a time, he calls you, he keeps on, and he calls you and preaches to you, but you won't answer. I remember hearing a message when Jack Coe preached about how God is going to burn your barley fields. And he talked about how that the king had called and nobody would come. And he said he kept calling and they still wouldn't come. And he said, go set fire to his fields and he will come then. Yeah, that was their livelihood, you know. He goes on to say, sometimes God's only choice is to set a fire inside your field. But let me tell you something. You might think, oh, that's awful. No, that's the greatest mercy of God that you could ever be extended. It's the greatest, greatest mercy. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better that you enter into life maimed than your whole body won't be cast into hell, but you'll be going to heaven. It's the greatest gift of God. It's the greatest mercy. It's just that so many times we don't understand that. Yes, people don't listen. You have to get their attention with a 2x4. Yeah, they have those thoughts, but they don't follow through with them, you know, quite often. He went on to say, but these next few days, I see trouble for the wicked. I'm suggesting he's talking about those 30 days, you know. I see trouble for the wicked. I do too. Mass executions are taking place for those who have been found guilty in the military tribunals of the most heinous of crimes. And this will soon be all over the news. I would say within a few days, you'll see it more and more. It's leaking out on the internet. You know that. It's constantly doing that. There's a lot of it out there. But it's going to be on the news. Their Starlink program overrules the mass media. Okay, we will see. I see trouble for them who shed innocent blood. Yes, I don't know if he knows what's going on, but that's exactly what they're doing. The devil loves innocent blood. And anybody that the devil is in loves to take innocent blood. They love to sacrifice the babies. They love to sacrifice the innocent. God's going to judge them, he says. God is not a man that he should lie. Jesus preached about hell more than any man that you could read of inside the scriptures. He told the very ones that knew the law of Moses, he said, you hypocrites. He said, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? Because of the things that they were teaching and telling the people. But the Lord's going to reign. God's going to move. There'll be a revival. Yes, there will. He spoke a little bit about it here. He said, I see a revival breaking out there in California. Yes, we're seeing people coming from California to get away from that place. And they charge them extra to leave. Can you imagine? Bunch of thieves. So I see a revival breaking out there in California, not just California, but all over the United States, because God has chosen such a time as this. God's going to put Donald Trump back inside the office. Yes, I believe as president of the restored republic, possibly this month. Yeah. And he's going to restore the Constitution, the original Constitution, before the leftists whittled it all up. Okay. Church, I need somebody out there to help me fight this fight. Help me stand up and be one of the soldiers that gets down upon your knees and says, God, I rebuke the denier. I stand up against you, Satan. You have no power. The Lord has given me authority. He said that anything that I ask, haven't I preached this same sermon? Yep. Yes. He said that anything that I ask, that if I believe and doubt not, I would have it. That's what he said. And we are the ones that hold the line. Yes, and I've said that too. And he's running right along parallel to us here. We are the ones that they're trying to destroy. Mm-hmm. Yep. Ain't God good? Yes, he's got the plan, and he's going to carry it through with it. Okay, let me just talk to you a little bit, back up just a little bit, and talk about the white horse rider. Since we're very close to the tribulation period, and we've said that, that President Trump will, we believe, be president during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, maybe a little more or a little less, but I think it might be a little more, not sure. If you really know what's going on, his term has not come up. He has not lost any time in the president. He is steadily working. And so, the 4 more years, it's happening. Okay. So I want to just share with you a little bit about the White Horse Rider. Many people ask me who the White Horse Rider is in the first sealed judgment of the tribulation. Christ or Antichrist? Well, Revelation 6 and 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice of thunder, "Come." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. So this we see is what the white horse rider does. He conquers. He conquers. I don't think they're going to be able to wipe out the deep state in any method that a state can exercise, because the mass media with their slander sent out there is demon-possessing people. The Satanists are throwing in their curses, and the witches are throwing in their curses and empowering this stuff to bring people to delusion and demon possession. So, and of course, each one of these demon-possessed people go out there to make more demon-possessed people. That's what happens. So do you think they're going to really be able to drain the swamp? Not without Jesus. No, no. And evil will never be totally taken from the earth. We know that. It has to be here, and the seeds of it have been sown for the tribulation period, right? Well, the white horse rider here is neither Christ nor Antichrist, but Christ in a modern-day body of believers called the man-child. Just as Jesus came in the beginning of the first 3.5 years of the disciples' tribulation, so the man-child will come at the beginning of the first 3.5 years of the end-time tribulation. And why must this be the first seal judgment? Well, 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Yes, of course. You want to be on God's side during these days. You do want to be on God's side. Just as the man-child Jesus brought the unleavened bread of the truth, confirmed with signs and wonders, which made Israel and her leaders responsible to repent or be judged, so it's going to be with the end-time man-child and spiritual Israel, which is the church. The Israel was just the first church of the Old Testament, right? And they were a type and a shadow, according to Paul, of our day. So that includes the church. John 9:39 says, "And Jesus said, For judgment came I into this world, that they that see may see not may see, and that they that see may become blind." Oh, that really offended the Pharisees, you know, because they knew he was talking to them. They claimed that they saw, and they were leading God's people in their very proud and arrogant way in the wrong direction. They had them all in the sheepfold, but they weren't feeding on any of the nice green grass beyond. So Jesus went down and opened the sheepfold and called his sheep by name and called them out. Now today, he's still doing that. We are in the same place today. He's calling his sheep out of the fold, out into the green pastures. He's going to feed them very well through the man-child ministry. Yes. Simeon prophesied that the man-child Jesus would cause both the reprobation of some and the grafting in of others. Luke 2:34. "Behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many." You hear that? That's who this child is coming. "For the falling and rising of many in Israel." And that means the church. "And for a sign which is spoken against." Yes, we've experienced this quite a bit. Especially when people fall into faction, they speak against it. "There is no such thing as the man-child in the book, in the Bible. It's only mentioned." What would they know? Their brains have been just you know, gone. Conscience, memory of the scriptures, gone. I've had them tell me that. David, I just can't remember the scriptures anymore. They're just gone. Everything I learned is gone. I said, yeah, that's what happens. If you don't fall into criticism and unforgiveness and bitterness and you lie and slander against your brother, that's what happens to you. Mm-hmm. We've experienced this. We know. Jesus was also a sign that the end time man child would bring the same judgment. And it was with Jesus and Judaism, the man child will be spoken against by the apostate Christians. Moses, as man child, brought the law, which made the rebels responsible and brought judgment upon them. Romans 4 and 15 says, "For the law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression." So like Jesus said, you know, if I hadn't come and spoken to you, you wouldn't have sin. But now you have no excuse for your sin. So you see, now the man-child is coming. His words are going to make people responsible. They will judge people. And the righteous who love his words are going to be hanging on every word and loving it and wanting more. Yeah. So what does the white horse represent? As the mind of man uses his body as a beast of burden to do his work, so the horse is harnessed as a beast of burden to do his work. The horse represents the body, or the beast, right? Psalm 147 and 10 says, "He delighteth not in the strength of the horse." Now, this is, of course, one of those negative horses in Revelation chapter 6. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man. So see what the horse represents here? The strength of the horse, the legs of a man. To ride a white horse symbolizes to completely harness the strength of your body or beast to do righteous work. It's a white horse. Overcomers ride white horses because their body is in submission to the spiritual man who submits to the Holy Spirit. Those who walk by faith do not give any authority to the mind of the flesh to rule, but instead rule over it. And although the man-child will be the first fruits of the white horse riders in our day, the elect of the woman will also follow their Lord on white horses to finish off the judgment after the tribulation, as we see in Revelation 19:11. "And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, he that sat thereon called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And verse 14, "And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and pure." Amen. This is the leukos, white and pure. Lampros is what the bride earlier in Revelation 19 is clothed with. Lampros is shining, glowing, the glory of God shining forth from the bride, right? That's a different word, lampros. Okay, just as the latter rain outpouring of the Spirit on the man-child will harness his body as a white horse, so in the rest of the sealed judgments, evil spirits will ride upon the beast of the flesh of men to bring these curses upon the earth. The difference between the man-child and the rest of the riders is that he is the one who looses these judgments, just like Jesus, Moses, Jeremiah, etc. did. That's right. They came to loose the following judgments. Revelation 6 and 3. "And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, Come. And another horse came forth, a red horse. And to him that sat thereon it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So there's going to be war, right? And when he opened the third seal, I heard a third living creature saying, Come. And I saw, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat thereon had a balance in his hand. And I heard as it were a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, A measure of wheat for a shilling, and three measures of barley for a shilling. So that's famine, right? And of course, you know, the deep state's been spraying and you know, doing different things to destroy the crops, you know, weather warfare to destroy the crops. Been doing that for quite some time, doing a very good job. So, again, people are going to find out about all this, and these are going to be very unpopular people. Okay. And the oil and the wine hurt thou not. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of a fourth living creature saying, Come, and I saw, and behold, a pale horse, and he that sat upon him. His name was Death. So here is the spirit of death ruling over a body of death, of people causing death, bringing death, right? And Hades followed with him. So hell is waiting for these people to die. And there was given unto them authority over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with death and by the wild beasts of the earth. You know what the beasts are, according to Daniel, these different kingdoms, right? Remember that Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, you know, don't waste your time out there wasting your time. You need to get to know the Lord so that you have authority over all the power of the enemy. I'm telling you, don't waste any time. Authority in this case is the right to use the power, even the power of demons. That's right. Paul did that, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He turned man over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh so that the spirit could be saved in the day of the Lord. He was using the power of the demons. The demons, by the way, exercised the curse upon mankind. Jesus came to deliver us from the curse. Okay. But his Father turns us over to demons if we don't forgive from the heart everyone, right? So the man-child will exercise authority and pass it on to the woman to bring the same sword, famine, and death to those who return evil for good. Jeremiah was a type of the man-child who loosed the judgments to come. Jeremiah 18 and 20 says, Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Yes, he was sacrificing his life to tell them the truth, to warn them, and they returned evil for good. Remember what the scripture says. Those who return evil for good, evil will not depart from their houses. We are witnesses of this. Remember how I stood before thee to speak good for them, to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine, and give them over to the power of the sword, and let their wives become childless and widows, and let their men be slain of death, and their young men smitten of the sword in battle. Well, you see, that curse was loosed. Though the following curses of Jeremiah, who was a man-child, the following curses came out of his mouth. He loosed them. Man-child's the same way. The man-child speaks the word which brings the curses of the cursed horses that followed him in Revelation chapter 6. All right. Moses and Samuel represent the same type of the man-child whose words and teachings to the woman, representing the church today, will bring forth the same judgments. 15:1 Then said the Lord unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be towards this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass that when they say unto thee, Whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, Thus saith the Lord, Such as for death, unto death, and such as for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for famine, to the famine, and such as are for captivity, to captivity. Wow, he wasn't sending a whole lot of grace to him, was he? Well, you know, when Jesus came and spoke about the spoke to the Pharisees in parables, like the parable of the sower, the disciples wanted him to speak plainly to them so that they would understand. He said, it's not given to them to understand. They've closed their eyes and their ears. It's not given unto them. It's given unto you. So he took his disciples aside privately, and he gave them the interpretation of the revelations. No, they will not receive it. Jesus in the first fruits man-child is going to send forth the disciples with the word of God to bring these judgments that we're talking about on the world. Revelation 6:2 And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. Well, okay, so how was that carried out? Well, actually, it was carried out by the following judgments of the curse upon the people, which would not receive the grace that the man-child offers. Notice that he has a bow, but no arrows, meaning they have been sent forth. You know what apostle means? It's one sent forth. As Jesus was from Judah and sent forth his 12 apostles and then the 70 disciples, so the man-child is spiritually a corporate body from Judah and will be the bow that sends forth these arrows. Zechariah 9:13 says, For I have bent Judah for me. I have filled the bow with Ephraim. Ephraim, by the way, was called in Hebrew the fullness of nations. In other words, the Gentiles. Right? Going to send them forth in Genesis 48:19. And represents the woman or the church of all nations. And I will stir up thy sons, O Zion. There's the bride, right? And remember what John said of Jesus and his first disciples? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. So here we're talking about the bride. John was told in Revelation that Zion or Jerusalem is the bride, right? I will stir up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece. That was a beast kingdom. Right, O Greece, and will make thee as the sword of a mighty man. And 14, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as lightning. And 15, the Lord of hosts will defend them, and they shall devour. So as Jesus' disciples went forth to conquer the mind of the beast that ruled over the elect of God, so will the man-child's disciples. Amen. History is going to repeat. It must happen. Ecclesiastes 1:9, because God says it will happen. Okay, Psalm 127:3 says, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. So Jesus' disciples, whom he sent out like arrows, were his children of youth. Well, of course, he's had many children since then. And he called his disciples children in John 13 and 33 and 21 and 5. In Isaiah's prophecy of the coming of Jesus as Emmanuel, he called his disciples his children. Isaiah 7 and 14 and 8 and 16 and 18. So the worldwide man-child will send forth the disciple arrows to conquer the flesh, the beast, and the devil. Psalm 127 and 5 says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate." These are people trained up by the man-child. You know those disciples that he trained up and he sent forth as apostles. Also trained up many to go forth in the same spirit. Well, those disciples did the same thing Jesus did and said the same things Jesus said. And they had the same effect on people that Jesus had, because Jesus put himself in them, right? Now, it's still supposed to happen that way today. That's what a disciple is today. Jesus didn't talk about Christians. He talked about disciples. You cannot be my disciple unless you do this or that or the other, right? So the disciple arrows will go forth to conquer the enemies in the gate of the kingdom with the spoken word. Jesus, who was the light, and called his disciples sons of the light, John 12 and 36, also said that the light would bring judgment when men denied it, John 3 and 19. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. And so there are people who oppose the man-childs today and in the future, and their disciples. They oppose them. They speak against them. How many of the disciples of Jesus were killed? Almost all of them, of the first disciples, right? By their enemies, by the wicked, you know. They were like his witnesses that he sent forth two by two. By the way, that's what Revelation is talking about. And the man-child and the disciple arrows will once more bring the light of truth, which will judge the world. This judgment will begin at the house of God and spread outwards. As it was with Jesus, those who reject the light will be reprobated, while those who accept it will be the sons of light. The white horse rider will bring forth truth, which is the foundation for all judgment. Just remember that Moses, who was the white horse rider of his day, brought all the judgments upon Egypt. As a type of the man-child, he led all the other colored judgment of horses of Revelation 6. In her book, Prepare for the Winds of Change 2, Chapter 1, Nita Johnson relates her vision describing the White Horse Rider's ministry. And you'll notice that it is the word that goes forth from the anointed teachers of the end times, as they call the elect out of Babylon, that brings judgment or delivers people from it, right? And she said, "On January the 10th, 1990, I was granted a visitation by an angel." Well, since angelos, angel is not translated, it is the Greek word, by the way. Since angelos is the Greek word for messenger, this large messenger represents the corporate body of Jesus in the man-child. And when I first saw this majestic being, I was awestruck by his beauty, his power, and his obvious authority. He was dressed in white garb, resembling an old Roman military uniform. His belt and type of breastplate were of gold. His whole appearance seemed to glow with the glow of heaven itself. That is, the glory of God, right? Amen. The glory of God. He was riding an equally beautiful and powerful white war horse. Both horse and rider were very large. That's because they represent corporate bodies. Right. The horse was much larger than any horse you and I would ever have occasions to see here on earth. It was indeed obvious that this incredible being was one of God's higher-ranking dignitaries. Again, this great size implies a corporate body. I was frightened by the sight of him, and would soon find myself quite distressed over his message to us. I first saw him as he rode his incredible war horse down what could have been any street in a typical subdivision anywhere in America. He was carrying a huge sword in his hand. That's the Word of God. This instrument was actually long enough to be a lance, but its shape was that of a sword. And with it he would touch the roof of the houses on either side of the road out of every two or three he passed, thereby bringing judgment. He would declare, "Let the judgment fall from the greatest to the least of the unrepentant." Well, notice God's being very specific which house he touched and which he didn't. God is the one that chooses the judgments that are coming. How do we escape judgment? Well, righteousness delivereth from death, the Bible says. Righteousness. Repent and believe the Word of God. I then found myself standing at the end of this same street, watching intently and fearfully as this illustrious angel moved down the street in my direction. After every house that he cursed, he would proclaim warnings, as it were, into the streets. Quote, "Great judgment is coming to the lovers of this world, those unrepentant and cripplers of the children." This was back in 1990, by the way. Now they're famous for it. "Fear," again and again, he would exclaim, "Babylon is falling. Come out of her, my children. Take nothing with you, only the clothes on your back, and don't begrudge the cost. Judgment is coming at midnight. The hour is 11:55. Ooh, that's pretty close. "I say, don't mourn the loss, only come away, come out of her." Now, some people take this very literal. You can't leave world Babylon. There is a world Babylon, you see. You can't really come out of it. It's like coming out of Egypt, you know. It's a spiritual statement to us. You must translate it, you know. We are coming out of them by giving up their ways, the things that they think are important, the apostasy that they live in, the sin that they live in. We are coming out of them. We don't have to physically walk out of a geographic area. It is not that way. Come out of her. Run from the daughter of wickedness. Time is at an end. Judgment is sure. And this he would cry out over and over again, as one would imagine a town crier doing, such as Paul Revere of old. He came to a standstill in front of me. Sitting on his horse, he spoke with me, giving me a great deal of instruction. Calling me by name, he said, "Nita, warn the people. Warn the people of the earth that judgment is coming at midnight. And the hour is even now, 11:55. Everywhere tell them to heed the teachers, heed my anointed, for their counsel is sure and is the way of safety and life." His anointed. Those people who are anointed to teach, not those people that went to Bible school. That was the Pharisees and Sadducees. Those people that sat at the feet of Jesus and are anointed to share his truths. These are the ones you should be listening to. Forget your religion. God never started one. Counsel is coming from behind the veil, from heaven. Among other things, counsel concerning spiritual warfare. Government is again coming to the church, and God bringing forth the mighty men of valor to lead the church forth in war. Amen. And we've been winning a war. If you think it's the men and the people who have come together to win this war, they wouldn't have lasted any longer than JFK did. I'm telling you, it is people out there praying and exercising authority over the forces of darkness, which are, by the way, the Satanists and the witches and just the general lost people under them. And he went on to say, "Tell my people, heed the teachers, for their counsel is sure and will provide safety in treacherous time. Heed the prophets and apostles. Heed my anointed." Obviously, the Lord believes that there are still prophets and apostles, and only apostates believe that there aren't. They're the only ones saying that they passed away in the time of Jesus. How silly. Don't pay any attention. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. You should not be in there. That is not a church. Heed the prophets and apostles. Heed my anointed. Their counsel is sure and a way of safety and life. Well, you know, Jesus, as the man child, was called teacher, prophet, and apostle. So she went on to say, God will be lifting up specially anointed teachers, prophets of the Most High. They will be given the rod of government. They will carry the sword, bringing separation and judgment, and will be healers of great breaches among my own. Amen. Yes, be very careful how you treat these people, because the Lord is going to treat you likewise. They will prepare the saints with battle strategy and equip them with the power of a mighty warrior, bearing the anointing to spoil. Heaven's government coming in to separate, heal, and lead out into strategic battle. These prophets will be teachers who will be given counsel from behind the veil, counsel of superior wisdom and strategy for safety, unity, and spiritual warfare. They will be taken into the secret council of the Most High to obtain what must be diligently taught to the elect. This council will provide safety in treacherous times. Don't mourn, only heed the voice of the Spirit of counsel and might. Tell my people to heed the coming anointed ones. Tell them to prepare. Oh, it's so true. You'll know the anointed ones. If you have an interest in God, following God, a conscience of God, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will know them. You will know them. And their words, you will feel, are different. Their words have authority and power. From that point, he began to share many things. He gave much instruction, much information, and much warning. He finally told me I would find further understanding of these things in the book of Zechariah. He said, study it, understand it, let the Holy Spirit give you much enlightenment in it, he instructed. In closing, he said one more time, go forth now and tell the people of the earth, warn them, judgment is coming, and it is sure. Then he left, and I was alone in my room. So these anointed apostolic teachers will live both behind the veil, in the presence of God, and in the seen realm. They will be able to say, as the man-child Jesus did, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. For he and his wisdom will be in them. Amen. And, you know, that Timothy spoke about the judgments upon these wicked people in the times coming. I'll just give you a little snippet here from Operation Disclosure, Insiders. The Alliance had plans to destroy 34 satanic buildings. By doing so, along with a naturally caused Three Gorges Dam break and the GCR, that's the Global Currency Reset, we were about to face massive global disasters, including cabal cyber attacks, a stock market crash, and the internet to go down, along with a worldwide social media blackout. Okay, so they expect these retaliations by the deep state. The deep state is being crushed, literally. Their leaders have been hauled off, tried in a military court, and some of them are being locked away, and some of them are being killed. And they're killing quite a few people because this demon-possessed bunch, there's nothing you can do with them as far as worldly leadership. There's nothing that they can do with these people. They are not reformable. They are demon-possessed. People do pacify people that are sick like this so that the demons can't use them. They pacify them with drugs the rest of their life, but they're useless, good for nothing, and they don't get saved in that way. They don't even have a recognition of God in that way. And so it's a rare thing that God reaches in and pulls one of them out. So anyway, they are making war against the deep state and the Satanists. And they have executed quite a few. They've got many places, different places that they're doing this right now. And that, yes, they will retaliate because some of these things are fairly easy to bring down. You know. Another one is from the 20th of January, 2021, Inauguration Day to the present, the mainstream media has refused to announce that the U.S. was under military control, plus has neglected to report that a martial law takeover was necessary due to extensive fraud and foreign interference in the 2020 election. So basically, these people are fighting against the security of the United States and as such are being arrested. They're traitors. by continuing to perpetrate such treasonous acts as of false and deceptive reporting designed for a Communist Party New World Order takeover of not only the U.S. but all governments across the globe, the mainstream media has placed the nation, the world, and in danger, necessitating that martial law in order to protect the U.S. Constitution and thus the freedoms of all people. So, again, they have the law behind them, they have executive orders behind them, and they're going out to do this. They're taking their time. That rather than when threats come up against the population, because look what happens. The deep state threatens to kill a bunch of the people. They're not warring with warriors. They're warring with the population. And so I believe the Trump administration is being very careful to collect information every time something like this happens, and they make their threats and they go out and arrest more people until they get to a place where they think they can get away with doing it without losing a great loss of life. And it's working amazingly well. We've received words from the Lord that He is the one that has given them this plan. And it's astounding. Who'd have thunk that you could have taken over the New World Order, which is spread throughout the world, and so many people bribed into being loyal to it, or blackmailed into being loyal to it, that they can't get anywhere. Trump's tried everything, and now he's using the only thing he has left, which is the military. The Supreme Court failed, etc., etc. So, for the same reason, by the way, you know, these are all failing. All these institutions are failing. But the Constitution makes room for this manner of saving the Republic, which must be restored because we haven't had it. Yeah. So, anyway. Here's some signs that the president is still in control and that the fake Biden and the fake president is not. And the reason I say that is this is not Biden. If you take the pictures of Biden and you put them up next to this guy, you see very plainly this is a different person. And he's a fake president. Everything he did was fake. You know, he's over in Hollywood in a studio acting like he's in the White House, and he's not. He doesn't fly on Air Force One. President Trump does. And you know why the president is putting up with this? Well, so look what's happening out there in the population. Everything is quiet. They think they've gotten their way, you see. He's letting them think that. Very wise, very understanding. So the riots and the burnings and a lot of stuff that would have happened is not. And I'm not saying that some of it won't come. It will. But it is not happening. So, first of all, the Biden administration has been locked out of the White House since before his inauguration on the 20th of January, 2021. They showed a photo op of him going in, but I don't think he went in. But he's not there, for sure. The lights are out there, you know. Number two, Biden and the company have been forced to use the fake Oval Office movie set in the Amazon Castle Rock studio in Culver City, California, and another set like it in Baltimore, Maryland, to do their White House video shoots and press conferences. Number three, in a Monday, the 1st of March update, Benjamin Fulford described a video of Biden boarding a commercial aircraft, noting that the aircraft was a commercial jetliner that was painted to look like Air Force One, but it was not. There's a link there. You can look at that. And in a Wednesday, March the 3rd update, Monkey Works the military aviator of 35 years of experience, said that in air traffic control aircraft call numbers, Biden's aircraft was never identified as Air Force One. And there's a link to that. You see? So it's a big fake deal. The president knows it's a fake deal. He's letting it go on for very good purposes. And when he calls it in, everybody will know it. So, I mean, they've got incontrovertible evidence of vote stealing. And that will be put before the American people. That's their Starlink override system. It will be put before the American people, and they will see and know and understand that they are in order to do this, that the military is in order to do a takeover. And it's working well. Number five, Department of Defense military commanders continued to report to Trump in Mar-a-Lago, Florida. So isn't that something? You know, a lot of the things that he's signing are just blank pieces of paper. People have seen it from with their cameras on it, just watching them signing blank pieces of paper. And there is a few rebels out there doing a few things, but mostly everybody's being very committed to the military. And foreign dignitaries are totally ignoring him. So, number six, four naval surveillance aircraft have been constantly flying over Trump's location in Florida. Now, what ex-president gets any treatment like that, right? No such thing. Number seven, tons of fighter jets continued to be aloft at all times across the country as the restored republic was being legally implemented behind the scenes. That's March the 4th through Saturday the 6th of March. Number eight, signs suggesting Biden was a fake president. And that gives a whole bunch of signs right there. I'm not going to go to the link and open it for you. You can do it yourself. In Fulford's words, as Biden is boarding the plane, Central Casting couldn't find enough convincing-looking Secret Service agents. So some with jeans and work boots had to do. Not at all normal Secret Service dress, right? Yeah, they show pictures of that. Pretty interesting. Number 10, our guy added, notice that the military officers saluting Biden do not have military stripes or insignia indicating that they are fake CIA half-wit agents. And there's a link to that. Number 11, look closely. Biden pulls up in a filthy SUV. The guy standing by the SUV door is in jeans and work boots. Red carpet is for the press. Biden gets no red carpet. And then they got pictures of that. They're acting like they're broke. And you know what? They are. He has taken everything from them, including wars, which is one way they made a lot of money off of killing people. Number 12, the so-called presidential vehicle looks like a rental SUV that has not been washed around the door handles. It's very plain to see even from yards away that it's filthy. And a note here, the deep state has a low budget because they are out of money. And a link to that. Well, notice how the prez starts running up the steps until he stumbles, forgetting that the China bought and paid for Joe can barely walk now. The U.S. military government has been negotiating a surrender agreement with the deep state faction controlling Israel and Iran. under the threat of overt and covert military action against these deep state factions, unless they surrender immediately. And that also a link to that. These are some of the last holdouts, by the way. The other nations, are being bribed by the great amount of money that will be infused in their economy to basically humble themselves to this whole situation. It's very good. And by the way, the gospel going into foreign lands, even in Muslim lands, is going to change, because you see, it's not going to be permitted for them to treat other religions the way they do. And because of the money, they're going to knuckle under. And because of the vote fraud, they're going to find out which president has been put in there by fraud. And they're going to be out. And then there's also going to be an election for the new republic. And the election is going to be by blockchain vote, which nobody's been able to break yet. And that will be done very quickly and efficiently by phone or by internet. So basically, the people's votes are going to start counting. They haven't counted in years, because they've been using this voter fraud software. So things are changing very quickly here. I know people want things faster, but just stop and put yourself in the position, and you'll see that this is very fast, very fast. This came in the wake of the execution of the former global deep state head, the Pindar, as they call him, Benjamin de Rothschild, who was arrested in mid-January and whose military tribunal ended in his execution in later February. Of course, he's not the only one. He's just the head at that particular time. And, it's hard to escape them. You know, they have the NSA. They got everything everybody does, you know. It's hard to escape them. Who can make war with the beast, right? The deep state was panicking. There were no takers who wanted Benjamin de Rothschild's place as the head of the global deep state, which would make themselves targets of the Alliance military special forces. Oh, no thanks. Pass it on to the next guy. And, of course, it's not just the top. It's a lot of other places that people are refusing to step forward. There is a panic. This was good news, as the deep state Freemason, pedo, Satanist, child traffickers, and murderers were being hunted down and eliminated as we speak. Yes, it's a great day. We're just so sad it's taken so long to get to this. It's a great day. Those murderers, pedophiles, perverts of every kind, everybody that falls into one of these factions is a pervert. I'm talking about the faction in the church, or because we've recognized it, we have seen it, the faction in the church as well as the faction in the state. They're perverts. They're Satanists. And God's going to bring them down. And it's, of course, not going to be over. The White Horse Rider, as you see, starts at the beginning of the tribulation period, and he is draining the swamp. officially it'll be over, because it will be a recognized victory over Babylon by Cyrus. Our Trump, a recognized victory. But as you know, as I've said, the mainstream media has made many, many people out there demon-possessed because of their slander. And you can tell when the slander gives way to faction and witchcraft in them. That's when they go berserk. That's when they get really stupid, you know. So, yes, it's a great day, folks. An astounding great day. And another thing that's happening on Wednesday, February 24th, lawyers from multiple countries promising Nuremberg trials against all those behind the fraudulent pandemic numbers scam that was amplified by fraudulent PCR test false positives and fraudulent infection and death rate numbers. They all had financial motivations to fraudulently inflate the numbers. They tried to deceive the whole world. And now there's an army of lawyers descending upon them. Yes. German lawyer Rainer Fulmich, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, and thousands of attorneys around the world have a class action lawsuit suing public health officials in multiple countries for the C-19 scandal, saying that all those responsible should be prosecuted for civil damages due to manipulations and falsified test protocols that cost countless lives, businesses, livelihoods, and here's a link to it. And it's an awesome thing. And that's not the only one that's out there, but that's one of them. A second Nuremberg tribunal was in preparation, with a class action lawsuit being set up under the aegis of thousands of lawyers worldwide behind the American-German lawyer Rainer Fulmich, who was prosecuting those responsible for the C-19 scandal manipulated by the Davos Forum. Ain't God good? Our military intel contact said that prayers would be appreciated, especially when coupled with a high expectancy of vibration of gratitude to usher in the blessings that are coming now to us to be a blessing to the world. Yes, it's going to be a time of trouble and blessings. Yes, yes, the deep state will retaliate. They always do. But you know what? We have authority over them. And that's what's brought them to this place in the first place, right? We have authority. We need to exercise our authority. I hope that you are every day praying, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we shall condemn. We need to exercise the authority that Jesus gave us over all the power of the enemy. If you really believed you had that, what would you do? You are responsible when you realize that you really have this authority to cast down the deep state factious Satanists. Cast down all their plots and schemes. Let them all be known before it happens. And we send forth the angels to bring them down, one right after another, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are taking authority. You should take authority too, wherever you are, to bring down quickly. They have done everything to hinder, always by threatening the public. And the people who, of course, who are defending the public, the so-called white hats. I know that many of them are not saved, but hey, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right? So we thank God for that, and we pray that they will all be saved.
And by the way, they're still cleaning out the underground bunkers and tunnels and so on and so forth, rescuing children and blowing them up after them. A very sad day happened a few days back. They lost 200 people in one of those underground cities when they went to arrest a bunch of the deep state, probably soldiers that they have created. And one of them blew himself up along with everybody around him, which took out about 200 of the patriots, basically. So that was very sad. The president flew the flag upside down. I don't know if it's still that way. It was that way. So you need to pray that, you know, these people, they are devoted to Satan. They are demon-possessed. They put the demons in them. The Satanists pray over them and on them. And these people don't know that they're giving themselves to go to hell. And Islam is the same way. They've got that same spirit, you know. They think that they're going to have 70 virgins, you know, or whatever. You know, they're a bunch of perverts, you know. So they do what they think they need to do. And they're crazy. These are demons. So you know what? We've got authority over demons. And we need to start exercising it. We need to bind and loose. You know what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We need to bind and loose. We need to forbid and permit. Right? We can send the angels. They're waiting to hear the word of God come out of our mouths. We've watched them in our meetings. As soon as we commanded something to happen, they're gone, and they come right back. You know how long it takes them to do something? No time. They go, and they come right back. Yes. They will hear you. They will listen to you. They want you to do warfare. Remember in Revelation 12, when the devil and his angels, yes, they are angels, they are fallen angels, are warring with Michael and his angels, you know, and was cast down to the earth. In other words, his authority over the earth was being cast down. They were cast down to the earth. And who did that? It says the saints did that. They loved not their life unto death. They overcame by the word of their confession. You understand? We have to confess that we have this authority and confess and exercise this authority, because we confess it. And the angels are there to bring it to pass. And because of the blood of the Lamb. Okay, because of the blood, we've been given this authority. And we need to exercise it every day. This is where the victories are coming from here, folks. I mean, they're so ingrained in everything around the world. It takes a miracle of God to capture these people or to get rid of them. And your help is needed everywhere. Please sacrifice your life a little and do spiritual warfare against the enemy. You will see answers. We've been seeing answers. I used to write down what we commanded and mark it when it came to pass. I don't do it anymore. It's too tedious. It's too time consuming just to do that. But I thought it would be a great testimony. I started doing it and then I had to give it up. You know, but we are getting answers to prayers or answers to spiritual warfare. And if you do it, you will too. I know some of you are, but I say everybody out there who's been filled with the Holy Spirit needs to do this. And all the hindrances that they do to slow this thing down, you can be a part of bringing that down before it happens. Now, I know that the Lord told us very specifically that this plague, which has been loosed, which is, of course, the the medical practice of inoculating people with these things that are going to turn into diseases. They're destroying your immunity. They're giving people the very basis of AIDS, you know, which destroys your immune system. They're doing all kinds of things. They're putting chips in them. They're doing everything. People are saying very plainly that this is the mark of the beast. I disagree with that a little bit. I think it's certainly practice for bringing the mark of the beast. But the mark of the beast is released in the middle of the tribulation period, not before the beginning of the tribulation period. Okay. But they will be able to somewhat keep track of you with what they put in there. And we've already given you a bunch of stuff on this, you know, so I'm not going to go through it again today. But just remember to tell people, do not take the vaccines. Do not take the vaccines. I know the president has offered, you know, a medical answer. I think it's the one he took that got him out of it so quickly. And they're calling it a vaccine, and it's not. But also, there are the vaccines out there that Gates and Fauci and people like that have paid to get out there to basically dumb you down, get you prepared to be an obedient servant of the New World Order. And people are scoffing at it because they trust the medical community. They trust them. That's the sad thing, because the medical community makes money when they say this or that person died of COVID-19. They make a lot of money. And so they're basically being bribed to be traitors to the people. And I say you should not trust them. You should trust the Lord. The Lord has already healed you. That is without question what the Bible says, by whose stripes you were healed. If you were healed, then you are healed. And if you are healed, you don't need a vaccine. And if you hold fast the confession of your hope, that waver not, he is faithful that promised, he will bring it to pass. This is the thing. God is looking for a people who are faithful to him and believe what he said. Abraham was accounted righteous because he didn't walk by sight. He saw that him and Sarah were both beyond repair. And he didn't waver through unbelief. He believed that God was able to bring to pass what he said, which is bringing forth fruit. And they did. They didn't start believing until, I think, about the last year. Then they started believing, and then they got the answer. Otherwise, they were just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's the same with us. When we start believing and exercising our faith, we're going to see fruit. And it takes diligence to cast down the vain imaginations that we're trained up with in these apostate schools and colleges. Don't ever send your kids to a college if you don't know the people, know the teachers, at least, you know, don't do it. You'll find, like a lot of other parents have, they come out of there totally against Christ. And it's not worth it. They're being prepared for life, you say? They're being prepared for death. under these people. And you'd be surprised how many so-called Christian colleges. We just ran across a person that was like that. They sent their child to what they thought was a Christian college, and they came out a liberal, totally antichrist. So, Father, please give wisdom to your people. They have trust in too many things that are of the world and of man. And we can trust no one but God. We can't even trust who we think is a Christian, because so many of them are antichrist in their ways, in their dealings, in their thoughts. Lord, we can't trust them. How many times do people get married because their mate said they were a Christian and went to church? Well, did you find out if they were a disciple? Oh, no? Oh, okay. So now you're suffering for it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't become unequally yoked with unbelievers. The church is full of unbelievers. Full of unbelievers. They're trained to be unbelievers. They're trained to cast out things that are still with us and not passed away with the apostles. They're trained to train people to be unbelievers. We're going to see miracles. We do see miracles. We have seen miracles. Amen. In wondrous things is the Lord going to continue to do. We just got Sovereign God in Swedish. Our brother worked his way through that, and we're doing our best to be able to get these words out to people who would never hear it otherwise. And people are continuing to make translations. We're so grateful, you know. We pray that you would pray for the word to get out. We believe that the Lord is going to give us the money to cover the earth with the gospel. And we're looking forward to it. And we're very excited about it. We're praising the Lord for it. We're doing spiritual warfare for it. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that your word go forth over all of the earth, that you do raise up your man-child ministry and those that will follow them, those arrows that will go forth. We do praise you, Lord, for doing that, for raising up these people to go forth with the gospel and to bring down the enemies of God's people and the enemies of God. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing. In these days, it is so much grace, so much grace, so unexpected, I would say. You're showing your grace to the world. Well, like we shared today, there is going to be some excitement, a freedom, a 4th of July freedom to many, many people, not just here, around the world, finally coming out from under very evil leadership that were voted in fraudulently, just like ours. And we're really a part of the deep state Satanists. Don't care for people at all. They're just political people. They don't care to save the lives of people. They beat people into submission or kill them if they get in the way. And Lord, I ask that you rout these people out of every government out there. We know people who are evangelists in their countries, where the government was put in just like that, same way. And we're telling them, hey, just hold on, keep on praying, thanking God, those people are going to be replaced. And we thank you, Lord, that because of this GCR thing, they've got the country has high motivation to do this. And that actually people in the United States are going forth to make sure this is being done. And I thank you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' name. Thank you for freeing the people. Of course, freedom has to be taken advantage of. People who are free are not necessarily good. So the gospel is about to go forth, hoping that all those who are drawn of God will receive the gospel and be set free spiritually, not just physically, because it won't last. It won't last. I mean, we're going to be so excited about what is about to happen. But let me say, it won't last very long. It's a window that God has offered that is going to get the gospel into all nations, because these, particularly even Muslim nations, you know, where they wouldn't permit people to speak of Jesus. And they kill people for doing that. And so, but they won't be able to if they get caught doing this. They'll lose out on their whole world economy. And they're being highly motivated to come into alignment. You say, David, isn't this going to lead to the mark of the beast? Yes. Yes. You think I'm worried about that? You know who prophesied the mark of the beast? God did. A long, long time ago. And he's never changed his mind. This is his method for separating the wheat from the tares. People are out there frantically trying to stop the mark of the beast from coming. For goodness sake, you're going to try to make God a liar? No, the mark of the beast will come. But on our end of this situation, we're going to be able to take advantage of it to build the kingdom of God. So it's a matter of when do I get out, right? It's a whole matter of when is it time for me to get out. Well, I can tell you we haven't moved in any direction that we didn't get clear direction from God. God knows what he's doing. He is not fearful of the mark of the beast, and he's not going to stop the mark of the beast. You can pray that if you want to, but he is not going to stop the mark of the beast. It is necessary for the swamp to be drained. The mark of the beast will drain the swamp. Yes, it's God's idea. It's not the devil's idea. Oh, yes, the devil will push it because he knows he'll be able to take people with him. But those are the people that have not been given to the Lord. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. That's what he said. They shall come unto me. The Lord is going to get those that are his, and the devil is going to get those that are his. That's the way it is. So don't let people scare you away from taking advantage of a situation that is going to be used for the building of the kingdom. Because in the building of the kingdom, God is preparing his people to face the beast and the harlot. Yeah. So you see, on the near side, it's a good thing. On the far side, it's going to be a bad thing. You just have to know what time to leave. Some people don't believe in the sovereignty of God. That's why they think that it's their job to try to stop the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast just identifies who are members of the body of the beast. It identifies them. You would think some people wouldn't be that thick that they wouldn't recognize them. Well, they don't have their mind renewed with the Word of God, and they don't recognize them. But they will be recognizable when the mark of the beast comes. I've shared with you what the Lord told me about the mark of the beast first being spiritual and then being natural. It's spiritual in that people who walk after the mind of the flesh, that's one place the mark is, right? The forehead, right? Walk after the mind of the flesh, they must die, the Bible says. And those who are doing the works of the flesh, that's the forearm, the hand, the back of the hand, you know. That's works. Hands represent works. Those who are doing the works of the flesh are members of the body of the beast. It doesn't matter if they're in church every day. They're still members of the body of the beast. Because God saved us from sin. He didn't save us to sin. Like some say, he saved us from sin. And when we believe it, guess who does it? God. People say God can't do it. We're always going to be sinners. They're preaching a faith that is antichrist. You can't be saved by faith through grace and still preach that kind of garbage. Okay, we're saved from sin, not to sin. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing in the world. We know that you're going to get those that are yours, that you are very wise. And all that the Father giveth you shall come unto you, and you shall in no wise cast them out, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we believe you. We believe that many are called, but few are chosen. There are many who are invited to partake as Christians in this kingdom, but they're falling away and refusing the kingdom. They instead are sucking up to some wannabe denomination that's a making of man and not of God. And Lord, we just ask you to get all your people into the Word of God. Put a love for the Word in their hearts, Lord, so that they'll be safe from the things that are coming. Thank you so much, Father, for doing this. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. God bless you and keep you. We love you. Keep on praying for us. We'll pray for you. All right. Good night.